Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, Dr. Bloom was answering a question concerning why Baptists baptize the way they do and why they rebaptize some people. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues answering that question today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It is God's way to be baptized by immersion after salvation. It is God's command and way, and it is the first command after salvation. So to not do it after you say you've received Christ as your Savior is to rebel against God. And doesn't that bring a question? Did you really receive Him as your Lord and God? Some people won't do it because of their pride. They don't want to do it in front of people. What a shame. When we sin, we're all sinners. That's myself, all of us included. You're hearing my voice, you're a sinner too. We all are. And to think that Jesus hung on a cross, stripped naked, and suffered so terribly and horrifically in order to pay for your sins in a public venue, and then to be ashamed of the one that's delivering you from hell to heaven, saving you from sin, and you're ashamed to be baptized? I mean, how low can you go? Is that any better than the worst inmate in federal penitentiary? Here you are, many of you clothed in front of people inside a building, and if you get saved and you get baptized, those people are rejoicing in your baptism. You're not persecuted as in bygone days in which you might have been killed. But again, I want to be perfectly clear on this, and I hope that every one of you get this clearly. Nowhere do we find that baptizing saves a person, or that thief that the Lord said would be with him in paradise that day is in hell, and Jesus lied to him. Jesus did not lie. So, let us see it again. Baptism does not save, although the Trinity is involved in baptism. But the Trinity is involved in your salvation. Now, let me demonstrate that for you. Luke 13:3. By the way, when I'm talking about baptism in the way of salvation, I'm not talking about, well, the local church says this or some denomination says. No, we're talking about what the Bible says. The Bible is our authority in all matters of doctrine, practice, life, and every other manner. And wherever there is a difference between Bible and man's knowledge, Bible and science, Bible and anything, man is always, always, always wrong, and God is always, always right. And we have to accept that by faith, because sometimes we won't be able to explain why God is right and man is wrong. But God will prove himself in eternity that he was right all along and there was no error. Now, in Luke 13:3, God the Son, that is Jesus Christ, said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He said it, repeated again in verse 5. Mark 1, he went preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So understand, Jesus Christ, God the Son, called people to repentance and faith. In Acts 17:30-31, we see God the Father also in this idea of salvation. in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why does he do that? The next verse. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now again, Jesus said, repent or perish. In other words, you'll go to hell if you don't turn to him. God the Father says, he's going to judge. You better repent. He commands all men to repent because he's got a day in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man was Jesus that he ordained, and he shows it because he rose from the dead. And that's the proof. And by the way, that's the gospel. Jesus died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. But we also see God the Holy Spirit. It's also active in your salvation. John chapter 16, verses 9 through 11 tells us that the Holy Spirit, his purpose was to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And so you have the Trinity involved. But you know, the Bible even allows the local church. Now, the local church doesn't save you, but the local church is responsible to get the message of salvation out. And so in Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit, speaking of God's Holy Spirit, and the bride, who is the bride? That's the local church. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Don't let anyone put something else added to the scriptures. And whosoever will, you know, isn't it interesting? Whosoever will here in Revelation 22, and there was a warning given, if anybody adds to this revelation, then all those curses of the book would be upon them. People try to change whosoever will. Well, whosoever is elected. No, he said, whosoever will, let him take of the water life freely. So even the church is to call the lost. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is active to trying to get you to save, and is using the church to call people to be saved. And so that brings a question, my friend. Do you know that if you died today, that heaven is your home? Now, some of you can say yes, and you have received Christ as your Savior. And you know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. You didn't get baptized the Bible way, that is by immersion, since you've been saved. Well, don't rebel against that. And don't exalt yourself above the Lord Jesus. Be obedient. And so you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But now, perhaps you're listening today and you're just not sure that if you died that heaven's your home. So let me just say this. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, that includes me and that includes you. The idea there in that verse is that we have all sinned. It's in a Greek tense. It means we continue to sin, and we continue to come short of God's glory, meaning we can't earn salvation, my friend. That's why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace, that is the grace of God, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. We even see that in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. So you don't earn your way. And so he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages. Now understand, wages are what you earn. For the wages of sin is death. That's final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. Now, again, Jesus preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible, and he called it a literal lake of fire. He did not try to change it to say, well, it's just being separated from God only, as some try to do today. They have to say that through their imaginations, but not through the scriptures, unless they change the scriptures. So, understand that the wages of sin is death, final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. And understand, that means there's no hope of ever escaping. Once you die and you go to hell, there's never a chance to get out. You're there forever. You know, as Christians that get saved and we get raised from the dead when we die, when Christ comes back or at the rapture, we're going to live for Him, with Him forever, and we're going to have a glorified body. Do you realize a person in hell also has a body? And that body's going to exist forever. But it's a body that will feel all the pain that a man would feel in this life with fire and yet not be able to consume away. Much like the burning bush in the wilderness with Moses. So understand, that's the way it is. And the wages, what we've earned, what we have coming to us of sin. Didn't say big sin, didn't say a whole lot of sin. Just said for the wages of sin is death. Oh, that is such grim news. However, that's only half of Romans 6:23. The second half says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now notice, didn't say, if you really work at it, you do the best you can, you go to a church, and you do a lot of these works that you can make. No, he says the gift, not what you earn, but what God gives, is eternal life. But that eternal life is only one way, through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, I know many politicians, others will tell you that there are many roads to heaven. That's a lie out of hell. Now, they don't know it's out of hell, but that's a lie out of hell. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. You don't go to heaven but through Jesus Christ. There's not many roads to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, there's none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. And you must be saved if you're going to go to heaven and escape the wages of your sin. It's a gift. But how do we come about that gift? Let's understand this. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. God does not overlook any one sin, any sin at all that any of us do. He doesn't overlook any of our sin. He punishes all of them, totally, in full. That's why hell is eternal. However, we find in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What you need to understand, John 1 says of Jesus Christ that he was in the world, and the world was made by him. He was the creator, and the world knew him not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1, verses 1 through 3. So he is the Word, he is the creator. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was made flesh. Jesus Christ was God come into flesh. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.